Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown. 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose. Spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on the run once, we're going to keep him on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
Menace to... Welcome to Menace to the Midwest, our college football show on Midwest football. It is Tuesday, October 15th. Thank you for tuning in. It was honestly a business as usual weekend in Midwest football, to be honest with you. I mean, there was no upsets. The only ranked team that lost, I think, was Iowa, which they were supposed to lose.
They lost to a team ranked ahead of them.
Right. So.
It was in a top 10 team.
It was really just business as usual, unlike some other places down south. It was a good weekend, though. A good weekend of football. The first question I have is Minnesota for real?
Right.
Yeah. That's a great question.
I don't know. Undefeated, right?
I mean, we're talking about just like in the Big Ten picture, or even like we're not talking about national landscape. They're not real. We know that. but in all reality, 6-0 to start, and I'm as critical as anyone of the used car salesman that is PJ Fleck, and I know they haven't really beat anyone, but they routed Nebraska this weekend for their first 6-0 start in over 15 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's impressive, right?
It's significant for sure.
I mean, PJ Fleck has them rowing the boat, you know.
And then they got, what, two cupcakes coming up?
Well, the good thing is up in Minnesota, when it gets cold, those boats don't row. It's frozen.
Lakes freeze.
You better get some ice skates, PJ. But Minnesota, I mean, credit to them. They're 6-0. I mean, they definitely have some games coming up that should change.
On the back end, for sure.
They might go 1-5 down the stretch here, unless Rutgers can pull out a dub.
Hey.
But I think the two big games in the Midwest, there's three big games that there was this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest and most significant performance of the weekend had to be Wisconsin shutting out Michigan State.
Yes,
Wisconsin,
no doubt about it.
Blanking Michigan State.
Well, I mean, the reality is you sit there and talk about Wisconsin and how they have arguably the best defense in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you can even argue that. But when they do it to Michigan State, which I get it. I know they're inept on offense. I know they and Taylor Lewecki got benched and they don't really have a quarterback. I get all that. But when your defense is ranked number one or number two in every statistical category.
Every single one.
That's like ridiculous. Outside of their 87th on fourth down conversions, which is what, three out of four?
They need to improve on that.
Right. I mean, the only thing that they are not top five in is they're eighth in the country in sacks, seventh in the country in red zone touchdowns against them. Seventh in the country in tackles for loss, and seventh in the country in creating turnovers.
Well, how many opportunities in the red zone has that defense
well,
had?
Well, that's the issue. No one ever gets there.
They've given up 29 total points all year.
But, so. I mean, I feel like I could do it every episode. Total defense, one. Passing defense, one. Yeah. Pass efficiency defense, one. Rushing defense, one. Rushing average, two. Scoring defense, one. Stopping explosive plays, two. Like, first down defense, one. Third down defense, one. Like, holy shit.
I heard what? Rush average was two? They better work on that one.
Well, I know, because they're giving up 1.8 yards a carry, and that is abysmal. I mean, JK might have 400 yards rushing.
I mean, at least.
I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing right now. Wisconsin's defense is just absolutely loaded. Now, I think the matchup with Ohio State, the issue they're going to have is they're Wisconsin's offense is pretty above average at best. Mm-hmm. And so that's the matchup that I'm like sitting here chomping at the bit. Like, let's talk about it.
Let's get into it.
Exactly. And it's like, no, calm down. You're like, hopefully Ohio State's actual team and staff is not thinking like me because Northwestern might pull something.
Pull something, yeah. Well, Wisconsin has at least one more shutout to get through before they have to face Ohio State. So that's good.
Right. Thank goodness. But it was an awesome win for them, a dominant, an absolutely dominant win for them. And I saw a tweet they put out. I don't know if you guys saw it, but they said they put their score up against Central Michigan, Michigan, and Michigan State. And they said, send us the deed at Upper Peninsula. We run this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They give up. Only points they gave up were the 14 to Michigan, to the whole state of Michigan.
The whole state. Which is
which we don't give a damn about.
Right. But moral of the story is there, Wisconsin is playing. I mean, outrageous on defense, and I'm so excited for next week when we get to break down that game, preview that game. We might do an entire episode just on that game, because it's going to be hard, because that game is so nationally relevant. Huge. And so Midwest relevant and so Big Ten relevant. It's like we probably just need to dictate a whole episode to it.
Yeah, when you think about it, the only other game that is even close to that relevant is going to be Alabama LSU.
Yeah, that's
I mean, those are the two biggest matchups.
Yeah, that's like the equivalent. Yeah, the SEC equivalent is that game.
But
yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, we'll see how Penn State does. If Penn State can roll off some wins, and then Ohio State beats Wisconsin, then the Penn State Ohio State game will be huge. Oh,
that'll be huge too.
But but regardless, in the next 2 weeks, it's the biggest game on the scene.
Well, what is it?
For sure.
What is it? Number three against number six.
Well, right now, like, you know, we got a week. Yeah, but. Right now it is. It's going to be arguably a top five matchup. But
probably,
anyways, Wisconsin rolled, and that's what it was expected. I don't know how you could have expected 38-0. I mean, that's a grade A ass whooping.
Yeah,
and they did it. But the other game that was somewhat relevant, Penn State pulled out a grueling win at Iowa, which is of note. But what was a crazy stat for me was that was James Franklin's first win on the road versus a ranked opponent.
Yep.
Got that monkey off his back, let's hope.
Apparently. I mean, I can't believe that's never happened.
Yeah.
And I was going through my, like, history, and I was like, yeah, no, we beat him at home every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
Michigan beat him at home every time.
Which is, it's wild that he's never had one. Yeah. But that was a good win for them. They actually didn't look that impressive. Iowa,
no.
It was a very uneventful. I mean, 17-12. Iowa ends up, I think the most disappointing thing was Penn State's defense. Iowa put up 356 yards total offense. They went 8-18 on third down, which is not horrific. No, I mean, it's almost 50%. Yeah. That's pretty good. They went 2-2 on fourth down. So that means they went 10-20 on third and fourth down. That's 50%. Yeah. That's kind of the benchmark that I've always put. Like, you want to go 50%. And if you do, you're going to be right up there in the top 10 in the country. And so they did it. Iowa did it against Penn State. I think the most disappointing thing ever was that Iowa, this is Iowa now, the Hawkeyes, like Kirk Ferentz, the Hawkeyes, they rushed for 70 yards total.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's two games in a row they couldn't run the football.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
That one against Michigan was just ugly. Yeah.
But here's the way I look at it. In my opinion, Iowa was kind of a pretender anyways.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Penn State goes to Iowa, which is never easy. I've been there on the other end of it for sure.
I remember.
But they go in there. Iowa turns the ball over twice, has 70 yards rushing, and they win by 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little scary for Penn State being a real contender. And I'm over here trying to profess that the Big Ten and Midwest is where football is the strongest right now. And I'm not dissenting from that, but Penn State was disappointing on Saturday. I know they won. I know they went on the road and beat a ranked opponent. I think it was a disappointing performance for Penn State's defense specifically. Mm-hmm.
It's a little alarming for sure.
Yeah, and I mean their offense was fine. I mean, Sean Clifford threw for 117 yards, which isn't great.
No.
12 of 24, 50% completion percentage. They went 10 of 19 on third down, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's above 50%.
Yeah, but I mean, eight penalties for 80 yards.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, and what I thought of when I looked at this game was Iowa needed to do so much to come back from that embarrassing performance offensively against Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that and being at home helped them kind of overinflate their offensive stats. And the second thing when I looked at Clifford's throwing numbers, I couldn't help myself, but I heard this earlier in the week, and Justin Fields was committed to Penn State before he decommitted and went to Georgia. Could you imagine this Penn State team if they had capitalized on that and actually got Justin Fields?
Yeah, it would be a far different
be a different team
right now. but he committed what, 2016, I think it was, so that was probably his middle of around his junior year of high school. And that is Penn State's mantra, or that not their mantra, that has been their track record in recruiting. They'll be so hot on kids that are young, like sophomores, juniors, that like they'll surge in front of everyone and then slowly
back to reality.
The real racehorses catch up.
They're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I heard about it was like Penn State got in early. He committed. He was all in on Penn State. And then all of a sudden he started getting calls from Georgia and Ohio State and Alabama. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I like these guys.
Well, Penn State's always done that. And it's a credit to James Franklin and his staff. They get in so early and get so much momentum going. Mm-hmm. But it would definitely be a different landscape if Justin Fields was the Penn State Nittany Lions quarterback.
We'd probably still have Tate Martell. He'd be running the offense right now.
Ouch.
Fortunately, he went to Georgia. for Ohio State fans, at least, right?
Exactly.
And so it was a good win for them. I wouldn't say a good win. It was a win for them. Right. And it was I guess, nice to get the monkey off his back that is finally beating a ranked opponent at their place. But that's gonna bode an issue in the future if they play like that against some of the teams coming down the pipe, for sure. Support for Menace to Society comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters.
Oh, man, I have a funny story about that. I was a couple years ago, well, actually probably about 6-7 years ago, I wish I would have had these products they sent us because I wore one of those morph suits for Halloween, and I was a little too ungroomed, I think, and it was kind of noticeable.
Oh, you could see it.
Yeah, I had to put some shorts on.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? The Perfect Package 2.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with this Perfect Package 2.0. Fortunately, right now you're getting 20% off with free shipping using our code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off of free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code MENACE. All right, so the other game in the Midwest that was pseudo-relevant was the Fighting Irish taking on the USC Trojans. And they really thwarted a 14-point fourth-quarter comeback. And they were able to pull it out, winning by three.
Yeah, it ended up being a lot closer than it was most of the game, but it definitely was a good game. They came, you know, they bring the jeweled shillelagh back to South Bend.
The good old jeweled shillelagh.
Thank God, because people were so worried. I don't know if you guys see Brian Kelly on the onside kick when Notre Dame recovered it to win the game.
I didn't see him.
He was like on the field.
Oh,
was he really?
He was like on the field, like almost like a 12th player. Like, and nothing. It was like the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Did he recover it?
He would have if they didn't recover it. He was there for the tip drill,
just in case.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, when your job's on the line, you do anything to keep it. Okay,
that's a fact. That's a fact. But I think Notre Dame's defense kind of is starting to, I don't want to say fall apart, but giving up 426 yards to USC. In my opinion, Notre Dame is out. Right now, they're out, and they were probably out when they lost to Georgia anyways.
Well, especially since Georgia lost to South Carolina. That doesn't help Notre Dame at all.
That Georgia loss hurts them.
it definitely doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and the other thing that doesn't help is Michigan not looking like the Michigan that they were supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, and also that they go and beat Virginia. You say that's a good win, then Virginia goes and loses to Miami.
To Miami.
Right?
Exactly.
Notre Dame's entire resume right now is kind of falling apart, so you're looking at probably maybe a Cotton Bowl.
If they win out, they'll get a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, they'll get a New Year. Yeah.
But I don't think they will. That's the point of me bringing this up. I think they go in the Big House and get beat this week. And I think it's I think it's a signature win for Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I'll tell you what it will be is it's going to be a battle of two very mediocre quarterbacks.
Yeah,
100%.
That's for sure. And two underperforming defenses. I won't say bad. I think they're both relatively good defenses.
Yeah.
They just aren't performing that well right now, but I would have been remiss not to mention the game and at least talk about it for a second because Notre Dame USC is a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is 5-1. They are the ninth team in the country. I mean, they are those things, but in my opinion, Notre Dame is out.
Well, I think I think it's stupid that they don't play this game, the last game of the year, every single year.
It's just like the reason that nobody from the South will come to the North.
I understand play games. That.
USC has set in stone, hey, we'll play you every year. It's going to be the last game when it's in California, and it's going to be in October when it's in South Bend because we don't want to go to cold weather.
Yeah, they can't do cold weather.
Which is surprising that Notre Dame wouldn't flex their fake muscles and be like, no.
Yeah, but, well, it's been going on a long time.
Yep. Either way, I think it was a very, very lackluster win for Notre Dame. But they won. I had to mention it. Didn't want to not mention it. So that's the Fighting Irish update of the week. I think Notre Dame is slowly exposing that they are who they always were. Georgia losing certainly makes it seem like that loss, because I was high on Notre Dame.
Yeah,
yeah.
When they lost to Georgia and played Georgia the way that they played them, I was like, wow, Notre Dame looked pretty decent. I thought they were going to get blown out, but it comes as the picture gets clearer. It seems like Notre Dame is exactly what I thought they were, and Georgia's
not.
Is a little bit less than
expected.
Yeah, expected.
Yeah. Right. Well, when you look at Notre Dame, what it comes down to is they have poor quarterback play, or at least very below average quarterback play. Tony Jones Jr. is the only bright spot really on the offense, averaging 7 yards a carry, and their defense is very mediocre. Well, and Cole Kmet.
Thank you. I was going to say, they have a great tight end, actually.
Yes, they do. But it's hard to have a great tight end when your quarterback can't get him the ball.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's anyways, that's the Notre Dame update. Had to throw it in there. Don't want to take too much more time on it because it's not interesting and people don't care. But here's one thing I think people do care about and that is going on in college football, and that is the takeover by Fox. I mean, they are going after ESPN right now. And what just was announced earlier this week, they secured the noon slot kickoff for Wisconsin-Ohio State in 2 weeks, which outside of Alabama-LSU is probably the biggest game of the season, the regular season for sure. And Fox secured that kickoff. And on top of that, then, the big noon kickoff is going to be there. And it made me think, how far game day has fallen and the size of the bite that Fox has taken out of ESPN and game day right now. I mean, if you just look at game day and the history of game day, back when they had Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and of course the headgear donning Lee Corso, it was the bee's knees, man. It was the best. Everyone tuned in. Everyone was fired up. I mean, it was like Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. People are waking up or tailgating and turning it on. And it was the culture. It was a cult of college football. And though they haven't lost that live aspect of game day, it's slowly deteriorating. Not even slowly. It's rapidly deteriorating in front of our eyes. And it's no more evident than the people that are on it. I mean, you think about it. Chris Fowler left to do play-by-play and then entered Reese Davis, and there was a slight fall-off. And then obviously, unfortunately, and to no fault of his own, obviously, Lee Corso had a stroke. And the man that was always a mere character and spectacle of on the show anyways became one that has clearly been dealing with the lasting effects of having a major stroke. And I can relate to that personally. My grandfather, Earl Bruce, had a stroke. It was probably 2015. He had a bad stroke. He had to be life flighted from a family reunion. And I actually was in Columbus because we were just getting back to work in the summer. And I'll never forget it. It was terrifying. And I'll never forget that I had to make a phone call to Urban Meyer at like probably like 11:30 p.m. and tell him what had happened. And I was destroyed. He was upset. It was really bad. And so then we dealt with the after effects of a loved one that had a stroke, and it was hard. And then on top of that, which I'm going to get into in another segment here coming up, then he had battled Alzheimer's, which didn't help. I mean, stroke and Alzheimer's is just, you don't know which is causing which, what all the side effects are from the stroke or what's from Alzheimer's. But either way, I mean, that's the Lee Corso we're watching today. And then there's the big noon kickoff. Enter Urban Meyer. the younger, more knowledgeable, and more successful college football coach between the two with actual insight and analysis. Lee Corso was a fun guy who happened to coach college football at one point. Urban Meyer is one of the best two coaches of our lifetimes. It's just not even comparable. And so the question is, where if the Big Noon kickoff is going to Wisconsin, Ohio State, the biggest game in the country that week, which always game day has been at the biggest game in the country, where does ESPN go? And I don't think it's been announced yet, but what are they going to do? College game day live from Michigan Notre Dame? Yikes. That's a bad, bad look. And it's indicative of where game day's going and where Fox's Big Noon kickoff is going. Now, I think they could have come up with a better name. I mean, Big Noon kickoff, that's not that catchy or marketing savvy of a name. But either way, ESPN is losing, and they're losing hard. Game day has been a subpar product for a while now, and Fox parlayed Urban Meyer's retirement into their stab at that market. And I did some research. According to Sports Media Watch, the ratings for last Saturday's high noon game, so this is not last Saturday, this would be September 21st, Fox was at the Michigan-Wisconsin game. The ratings were a 3.1. ESPN was at Tennessee-Florida. The ratings were a 1.6. The week before that, the high noon game, Fox's Ohio State-Indiana broadcast hit a 2.0, and ESPN's Kansas State-Mississippi State hit a 1.0. So they're already doing better numbers. Now, the difference is ESPN's going to have more viewers because they're doing a three-hour show. And the good thing is Urban's pushing Fox to really go after ESPN and increase their time slot. And now you see they're doing a two-hour show instead of a one-hour show. And now they're going live on site and on location. And they're taking a bite out of ESPN right now. And it is phenomenal to watch. I mean, Urban's knowledge is invaluable. He has a great personality. He does struggle on air to an extent, but he's better than 99% of the people that I watch on TV. Brady Quinn is one of the best doing it. I watch very few people that I think are knowledgeable at that highest level, and I'll probably forget a couple, but the list that's at the top of my head is Brady Quinn, Joey Galloway, Joel Klatt. There's probably a couple other ones, but like I said, a few others that I just off the top of my head I can't think of, but those three are on a level above almost every other analyst out there. The other guy that's phenomenal is Reggie Bush is a stud on air. His analysis is just okay, but he's phenomenal on set. His personality, his presence, he's critical in their success. However, I think to take down the cultural giant that game day is, and it shouldn't be that hard to take down or take that long because they're doing it right now. Here's my opinion. I think Rob Stone is the weakest link on air, at least. They could do so much better for a host. They have the talent there, but what is left to wonder is his value off air. I don't know his value off air. He might be the one driving the ship. It seems he has more value with cultivating and enhancing the show off air from what I've heard and read. But on air, they could do better, honestly. Similarly, they could do better than Matt Leinart. He provides minimal value outside of his name. And in my opinion, who they should go get, enter Tim Tebow. A bigger name, better on-air talent, and Urban Meyer could get that done yesterday. that should happen. If they could somehow steal Tebow over and get him on Urban's Fox News show with Brady and Matt Leiner, with Reggie Bush, and then Rob Stone, if it has to be, or find a better host, we're talking about by and far the best preview show and platform in college football, and it blows ESPN's game day out of the water. But I just had to get that off my chest because I've been watching it and I'm seeing it. And I've been seeing the trends on social media and everyone agrees. I mean, people are all on it. So I would challenge you, don't turn on game day. Don't give them the ratings. Just turn on Fox Big Noon Kickoff. That's what I'm doing. I refuse to watch ESPN. It's awful. I'll watch a game if I have to because I'm going to watch the game. But the preview show and all that nonsense and analysis, it's not even analysis. It's like a horse and pony show. Like they got crowds, they got signs, which that's cute. And then they got to put a mascot head on. That's all funny. It's like watching a comedy show. It's not watching a news documentation. So that would be my challenge. I had to get off my chest. But real quick, when we come back after this quick message from one of our sponsors, I want to talk about my grandfather for a minute, just because I never really have on this show. And I want to share something that I don't know how many people have heard, but I kind of was going down a rabbit hole on YouTube last night and I found it and it was a video from his celebration of life. And so I want to play the audio for it right after this. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? At MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season. Right now, all players are invited to play in the free $50,000 Survivor Contest. Winner takes all. Contest starts October 8th and closes October 14th before the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie and you'll receive a free entry into the contest today. Between football season, the Major League Baseball playoffs, and the start of NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get into action. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, to activate the offer. That's promo code MENACE to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, so I want to share this audio, and here's quick background. So my grandfather obviously was a coach at Ohio State. For those of you that don't know, I'm sure everyone knows that. He was a longtime football coach, Hall of Fame football coach, and probably one of the greatest influencers on my life. And he passed away from Alzheimer's a couple years ago. And I was coaching at Ohio State at the time. And they had a celebration for his life. And a number of people got up and spoke. Matt McCoy, who was a good friend of his, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel, and then my Tony Alford and myself all spoke. Because those are the people that, I guess, were relevant and cared about him and knew him on a personal level. And so I was sitting here, you know, wanted to find a couple audio clips, a couple things to talk about in the show. And I found my speech at that celebration, and I wanted to share it with you guys because, well, mainly because this is my show and I can do what I want, but I think it might be interesting. You might enjoy hearing my words at that time on a man and the impact he not only had on my life but also the love he had for Ohio State. And it's a testament to people like this and coaches like this that put their everything and genuinely care about their players and their university, because this is a man that loved Ohio State University more than anything in the entire world other than his family. And he actually, there was scientific and medical proof that he did when he was ailing and really dying from Alzheimer's. So I just want to play this and just share it with you.
He loved his players. He loved his coaches that coached for him, just like he loved his daughters and loved his grandchildren. It was the same to him. Believe me, I can tell you, be a teenage grandson of him and not renew your license plates. He reacted about how I imagine Tony he'd react if you fumbled. It was the same man, passionate and with energy. And he was a coach that prided himself on his teams being tough, rugged, well-coached football teams. And make no mistake about it, when his grandson decided to get into football and told him he wanted to coach wide receivers, there was a sigh of disgust, I think, being an offensive line tough guy. And I'll never forget the advice he gave me. He said, coach them like linemen. That's what Urban did. That's why he's the best coach on my staff. Coach them like they're linemen. And so I've tried to do that every day of my career. Another funny aspect of my career in interacting with him was when Coach Meyer gave me the opportunity to come back to Ohio State. He would come into my meetings, and he usually only lasted about 10 minutes. We'd probably talk about a curl route or something, and he'd get bored and go down to the O-line meeting. But I think there was a level of respect where, like we were talking, Matt McCoy was talking about, where he would have opinions, and I think there was a level of respect for Coach Meyer where he realized you don't need to cross that line. He's the head coach. Let him do his deal. There was no level of respect in my meeting room. He would walk in after a game, and he would tell me what he thought. He would tell me what we needed to do on defense, and I would look at him, coach, on the wideout, coach, what do you want me to do? Call a different defense? But it was honestly an unbelievable experience being back here with him and the place that he so loved. If I had to share the personal values that he encompassed and taught in our family that I believe carried over to his career, I would say loyalty was his greatest asset. At times, even to a fault, if he had your back, he had your back no matter what, forever. I saw it with when I lived with him in the summer in college, with players that would call, coach, I need this. Coach, can you help me this? I mean, he would spend a whole day trying to help. I saw it within our own family. There's no one here that he would not help till his last day. Growing up, if we ever did anything, if he was buying a car, he bought it from a former player. If he was getting insurance, he'd call a former player. Everything he did, that's why he had to be in Columbus, because he wanted to support his players. And he was the same way with our family. He also firmly believed that's just what you should do. So much so that saying thank you often ended the conversation. He just believed that doing things for people he cared about was simply what you should do. I'll never forget several times, be a phone call and a thank you for doing that. I love you. And he was, all right, but talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hang up. Because he didn't need thanked. He just felt like that's what you should do. But that was him. He was born to impact people. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his players, everyone he cared for. That's what a coach is, and that's what he taught me and taught a lot of people here. The last piece of advice he gave me that I think I should share on this platform was when his wife, my grandmother, and love of my life, and his life, passed away. It hit him hard. See, as a coach, you're away from your families a lot. And it's only validated and worth it if you do truly coach the way he coached and care about your players like their own, your own children. But he gave me a piece of advice when my grandmother passed away, and I know Coach Meyer got the same message. He said, let me tell you something, buddy. As he began to tear up, which was a rare occurrence. He said, you make sure you give the people you love one entire day every month. And treat them like the royalty that they are. You hear me? With the same infamous finger in my chest. He said, you treat them like your top recruit, your most valuable player, because let me tell you something, buddy, they are. And boy, is he right. Time is the greatest asset we all have, and he made sure I knew to allocate it equally among the people that I love. That was a very short and small depiction of who he was to our family that I thought I'd share, but I also want to talk about the genuine love and undying passion he had for this amazing place. Make no mistake about it, every school wants to be like us, and my grandfather is another example of why there's only one Buckeye Nation. I've seen other places, and this place is different. It's just different because of people like my grandfather. That's what makes it different, is the amazing people that have come through here and love this place. See, Alzheimer's, like other diseases, both within the body and society, they always attack the weak first, right? The weak parts of your mind, the weak memories. And they don't dare attack the strong memories. And he was a testament to that, because the two things he loved more than anything was Buckeye Nation and his family. Even when he could no longer drive, he couldn't verbalize common thoughts like what his favorite food was. The strength of his love for those two specific things stood far too powerful for that disease to prey on. His extreme passion for his family and his love for the Ohio State Buckeyes was far too strong for Alzheimer's to touch. Until the very end, he never lost the ability to recognize or remember his family, trying to kiss my kids his final day when he heard their voice. And almost until the end, he never lost the ability to ask me, how's number 21 doing, the kid from Akron? He couldn't remember that an apple was his favorite fruit, but he could say, I tell you what, 16 played well Saturday. That's my kind of guy. He's tough. It was unbelievable because Alzheimer's couldn't take that. It was too strong. His love for this place was way too strong. When he had heart complications a few months back, his heart rate was alarmingly low. And when I would visit him, we would see medical proof of his love for this place. We'd start talking about practice, my players, Coach Meyer, whatever the topic. And his love for this place was so strong, it literally helped heal him and keep him alive as his heart rate would achieve normal levels. This has probably already been too long of a speech, but it's hard when your hero and the man you've wanted to be for 34 years has a celebration of this magnitude. I will end with this, which I believe is what makes Earl Bruce a legend and someone that I aspire to be like, and we all should. The greatest testimony to his life, the greatest gift he would give this world, was the generational impact he had. By impacting a lot of people here who will then impact a lot more people. So his legacy will never end. I remember growing up as a kid running into a lot of former players. And the reason why I got into coaching is they would always, I mean, it was countless, hundreds, would look at me and say, Zach, let me tell you something. This man right here is the reason why I am where I am today. I didn't know what a football coach was. I didn't really care. I just knew, wow, I want to do that for people. I want someone to say that about me. I want to have that kind of impact. And that's why I decided to get into this. because the number of people he impacted and I experienced as a kid growing up was unbelievable. So though my grandfather is gone now, no longer present on earth, but I'll tell you two things. He's ever present, residing over us in heaven with my amazing grandmother. And his impact on all of us will resonate for generations because he made thousands better. He did what I and all of us should aspire to do. He changed the lives of thousands of people for the better because he cared about them and would do anything for them. His impact will be felt for generations. So all of Buckeye Nation, my family thanks you for being a love and passion our family has been fortunate enough to enjoy for our entire lives and for loving my grandfather as much as he loved you. I'd be remiss not to share the advice he gave me the day Coach Meyer hired me in 2012 to close. He got about 6 inches from my face and he said, listen to me, you work hard. You'd be loyal to Urban Meyer. Love your players hard and hate no one except Michigan. Go Bucks. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Ooh, man, that's that was a very trying thing to do. Speak about the person that was your mentor and really did everything for you on such a national stage. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but I wanted to share it because one, I want to honor him as much as I can whenever I can. And I also wanted to share it because I'd imagine a lot of people didn't get to see it or watch it or hear it. It was during the day on a work day, so I know there was actually a pretty good turnout. It was on Big Ten Network, so I'm sure people did get to listen to it, but I wanted to share it again anyways, just in case you didn't. I thought you might enjoy it. It's definitely something that was near and dear to my heart, but thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. This show is growing, and I'm so thankful and have so much gratitude to the people that are enjoying it and supporting me and really fighting the narrative that is in the media and is being put out there by just some evil people. But I just appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate everyone for supporting this, and I'm excited to see it grow even further. We have some big things in the pot cooking. Hopefully they end up coming out the other end. I know a couple things haven't yet, but we have a lot of big things that we're trying to get done. And just want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Looking forward to previewing these this weekend coming up Thursday. I think we're going to drop two shows on Thursday. It's a double down Thursday, so make sure you tune in and check that out. And thanks for tuning in.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than a team. No coach is more important than a team. Team.
What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue right there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that beast stand in the way. Go away.
Menace to...